today on Real Radio.
There are warning signs given all along the path that you've taken to come here today. But did you notice them? Well, you may make this journey quite often and not recognize after a while. You take for granted that the signs are there. But behind those signs are a great meaning.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 4, continues now in a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. We're now on the Apostle Paul's third and final missionary journey, and of course the opposition is great, but his passion is for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So far in the Apostles' Farewell Address from Acts chapter 20, we find the Apostle Paul still in Ephesus, giving his final instructions to the church elders there. In verses 17 through 21, Paul begins his farewell address summarizing his past and how he was severely tested in his faith. In verses 23 through 27, Paul talks about the present and how he is not hesitating to finish the task the Lord has given to him. Now in verses 28 through 38 of Acts chapter 20, we find Paul giving the church elders a warning about the future. Today, Pastor Jack tells us how important the church is to God. The church holds great value to him because it has his name all over it. And it's important to Christ, the Son, because his blood is all over it. And it's also important to the Holy Spirit because he lives inside of it. So we need to ask ourselves, how important is God's church to us? And now in his lesson called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I am certain, though I didn't recognize them or even look for them this morning coming down the roadway, there are warning signs on the streets. If you're coming from the west down to the church, you got to go over some railroad tracks. It might have a sign. Now, I'm saying that because I didn't see it this morning. But I'm assuming. I think I've seen it in the past. Coming down Chino Hills Parkway here on your way to church, there's a sign, deer crossing. You know, like the deer know to cross between the signs. I don't know it's warning us. Now, I've recognized the sign there before, but I didn't see it this morning. Wasn't looking, I don't think. I know they're there. I don't remember seeing them this morning. There are warning signs given all along the path that you've taken to come here today. But did you notice them? Well, you may make this journey quite often and not recognize after a while. You take for granted that the signs are there. But behind those signs are a great meaning. And in verses 28 to 38, Paul gives us signs to be watchful of, to be careful about. And the reason why I have so much information to give this morning is because there's things that just extruded from my heart, and then there's things that I picked up in commentaries or whatever that are viable too. There's a lot of importance to what we're going to be looking at this morning. I'm going to give you 4 points. And underneath those points, there's going to be subpoints that are critical to you and I surviving our Christianity in the day and age in which we live. People, I'm going to ask you to put your thinking caps on this morning and be advised and be wise. In Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 17, we read this a couple weeks ago, Paul began to give us his farewell address. And we come to part 4 this morning. Of the Apostles' Farewell Address is the title of our message. But in 17, he began that warning. In verses 18 to 21, he warned us about the past, or he instructed us about what had happened. In verses 22 to 27, he talked to us about the present concerns. And now in verses 28 to 38, he warns us about the future. So the first thing we see right here is Paul's giving us of a warning concerning the future, verses 28 to 31. You ought to jot that down, the first point. Verses 28 to 31. He warns us about the future, and there's 4 things that we need to see right here. He says in verse 28, we touched on it last week, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. We are to take heed. First thing I want you to notice under this warning regarding the future is that, listen, the work of the Lord is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is not the work of men. The work of the Lord is not the work of a committee. The work of the Lord is not a group of people, a club, a staff, an office. The work of the Lord is the work of God himself. We are privileged to be involved in the work of the Lord. He's allowing us to be involved. The church is God's work, and it is an important thing. The Bible says in verse 28 that it is the church of God. I was talking with a sister last night about some of the things that go on and some of the things that are upon hearts and minds of people. And it just so happens we're in this chapter and we're into an extensive study on Wednesday nights about ministry and leadership. I believe that's by no coincidence. But the situations that have come up in the lives of people. And the tendency is to think bad about a church or a pastor or a ministry or a place. Well, listen, there may be things that are valid regarding that ministry, that pastor, that place. But do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. God loves the church. The church is important to the Father because his name is on the front of the church. It's the church of God. Verse 28 says so. The church is important to Jesus Christ because his blood was used to purchase it. The church is important to the Holy Spirit because he lives inside us who live inside the church. And of course, you know, it's not this warehouse that we're meeting in. But the church is important to God. It's important to us because we're it. We are the church. Verse 28 tells us, warning us as Christian leaders and Christians that we're to take heed. I'm going to ask you to jot this down based upon what we studied last week. Taking heed, what does it mean to your life and my life? I'm going to give you just one simple way to take heed, and then we'll be on with the rest of our study. Ask yourself as a Christian, and if you're a Christian leader, ask yourself as a Christian leader, how is this thing going to glorify God in our church, in my life, in our home? How is it going to glorify God? Listen, write it out on a piece of paper. Put it on your mirror at home. Put it on your refrigerator, on the dashboard of your car. How is this thing going to glorify God? Well, Jack, what thing? Well, whatever thing. What are you thinking? What are you thinking right now? How does it glorify God? Are you involved in a business venture? If you're a Christian, can I see a show of hands if you're a Christian? Wave your hand at me. Hi, nice to meet you. Gosh, that's a beautiful sight. That looks great. Listen, if you're a Christian, if you can raise your hand, in what you're doing, how does God be glorified in it? Well, Jack, it's pretty hard to be in the church and then be a salesman on Monday, be a business executive on Tuesday. Listen, God, who owns you, gave you that position that you might be salt and light. Don't compromise. How does the situation glorify God? Ask yourself. By taking heed, you're saying, Lord, how am I living my life for you and toward you? Personally, listen, I find it hard to sin when I'm thinking about something that's a little off color. If I condition myself by posting cards and putting things everywhere on my forehead or dashboard or wherever, how does this thing glorify God? I find it hard to continue in that sin. Even if it's a little imagination that's coursing through my head, how does this glorify God? Oh man, what a quench. I can't think about that anymore. Hey man, if you're tempted with alcohol, get that beer and pop that old cold brewski, look at it and say, how does this glorify God? Can you say praise the Lord in the midst of it? Nope. Set it down. Pour it down. Throw it away. Open up that magazine. Oh, how does this glorify God? Oh man, what a quench. Put it down. Burn it. Throw it in the fireplace. That's taking heed to yourselves, people. Gosh, you're talking about discipline, Jack. Yeah. Listen, it's holiness. Oh man. Holiness is not some archaic thing. The Bible says without it, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Why? Because without it, you'll see everything but the kingdom of God. And it's all okay. It's liberal. We can't be so narrow-minded, you know. Listen, we need to walk in holiness. And the thing that we need to be asking ourselves is, how does this thing that I'm involved in glorify God? Take heed to yourselves if we're believers. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Start asking yourself, how does this glorify God? Chances are you won't do it. Now, it's not everything. Some things are going to be wonderful. It's a wonderful way to walk, though. Corporately, as a church, we need to ask the question, how does this glorify God? In Isaiah 48:11, the Bible says that I will not share my glory with another. So we need to be careful corporately as a church. How does this thing glorify God? When we do something as a church, is it glorifying to the church? Is it glorifying to your ministry that you're involved in? Is it glorifying to the name of the church? That's wrong. Is it glorifying to God? If we keep that as our standard, we're not going to go astray, people. We can be rest assured. Look what it says here. It says in verse 28, that we're to shepherd the church of God, which He has purchased with His blood. We touched on it last week. That who has purchased with His blood? Listen, people, if you're a Jehovah Witness visiting this morning, we're so glad you're here. We love you in the Lord. But this is one of the verses that your leaders will not want you to read. Because you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God and that He is deity. Acts 20:28 says that it is God who purchased the church with His blood. Question, can God bleed? Wait. Don't be so quick to answer. Can God bleed? The Bible says that God is spirit. So how can a spirit bleed? A spirit cannot bleed. Aha! So God did not die and bleed for the church. Oh, yes, He did. You see, there was a problem. God, whose spirit, man who is flesh. God, the Bible says, died for the sins of mankind. He bled. How does He bleed? God becomes man, yet without sin, dies on the cross. He became one of us that we can be freed from sin in its grip. So how can God bleed? He bled through the life of Jesus Christ, that the Son of God would come and give us eternal life. He was not a good man. He was a good God, clothed in humanity. I cannot explain it. There's no definition for it. But He was 100% God, 100% man, and that is the greatest miracle in all of the world, that God would become a man. God did bleed. He bled the Son, Jesus Christ. By the way, in the original Greek, if you get a Greek Bible, you open it up, you'll be blessed to know that it says this in verse 28. The church of God, which He acquired by the blood of His own. That's how it reads in the Greek language. God bought the church. He acquired it by the blood of His own. The very word in the Greek construction tells us that the blood that was shed upon the cross was the blood of God that made atonement for sins. So I want to ask this question now. I understand that God can bleed. I see that He did it through Jesus Christ. Well, when did God bleed? I'm going to give you four verses and we're going to go quick. I've got a lot of notes ahead still. Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us. His blood. That's God. How do you know? Verse 28, Acts 20. Acts 20:28 says, God gave His blood for us. Revelation 1:5, hang on to your seats. This is an e-ticket. This is a great one. Revelation 1:5 says, Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now, if you are unwilling to receive the deity of Jesus Christ, you'll view the Bible as a cult. And the cults view the Bible here contradicting itself, because it says that God gave His blood for the church. And now we've got Jesus, Revelation 1:5, giving his blood for the church. It is not a contradiction, but it is in fact an underscore of the deity of Christ and God's redemption of us. Revelation 1:17. Am I too excited about this? Am I scaring some of you? I'm so pumped up over this. I'm washed by the blood of Christ. I'm going to heaven. I can't wait. I absolutely am nuts about it. I've been dieting for 2 and a half. I haven't lost a pound now. And in heaven, I'm reading that we're going to eat all the time. Food everywhere. Amen. Let's go. Today. I'm so sick of tuna fish. Revelation 1:17 says, he laid his right hand upon me and he said to me, don't be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. Search your Bible. That's the title of deity. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and more. That's God. That's God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Revelation 2:8 says, these things says the first and the last who was dead and has come back to life. The first and the last is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty God, the Bible says. Listen, for a long time ago, you and I, friend, sold ourselves into sin. Jesus Christ came to the cross to buy us out of that market and to give us eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, the Bible says, for we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Isn't that a great verse for our teens or people who are single, tempted? You've been bought with a price. That means you don't own yourself anymore. Therefore, now glorify God in your body. Listen, your body's not your own, pal. You think you can just give it away? Hey, are you a Christian? Yep. Are you messing around? Yep. Pray for me, brother. I'll pray for you. I'll lay hands on you. Listen, get out of it, man. You don't own your body. You can't yield your body to somebody. In fact, if you're married, Ephesians tells us, the scriptures teach us, Corinthians tells us, that we don't own our bodies, that my body belongs to my wife and my wife's body belongs to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that. We're to give him glory. The next thing that we need to see in verse 29 about this warning concerning the future is that there's going to be dangers around us, people. There's going to be dangers around us as believers. A lot of you are not going to like this. But there's going to be dangers around us. Look what he says. Verse 29, he says, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, you might be thinking, well, that's good for them. I'm sure everything's fine now. Listen, it's getting worse now. You don't know how much pleasure it gives me to tell you right now that wolves have come in and out of this body and God has tipped this off to them and you don't know anything about it. I tell you what, that's good leadership in this body. The ushers, man, these guys are loving you and warming you up and giving you a hug and helping you out and finding you a seat. But let me tell you, man, these guys are vicious against a wolf. They got these little boop, boop, boop. They got wolf sinking eyes, you know. And it's amazing why it's not us. God will grab our ear and say, wolf. He'll grab our eyes and say, wolf. I'm not kidding you when I tell you that. Do you believe God's real? Do you believe that this is God's body of believers? Then you better believe his ability to pastor his church is intense. Man, I could be sleeping, looking out the window, daydreaming, and he'll grab me by the ear and say, wake up, bozo, there's a wolf. Now we're 2,000 years down the road, and the Bible tells us it's going to get worse. I did a little thing. I got out my CD on animals and started reading about wolves. And it's interesting to me that Paul likened false prophets as wolves. Well, listen to this. A wolf or a coyote will normally approach a sheep openly and slowly. In an act of disarming, it is achieved by lingering in the area for a prolonged period of time and getting closer and closer as the hour goes by. And then with a quick bite, we'll take part of the foot or hoof, a piece of the ear, a part of the lip, a bit of the shoulder, until that wolf or coyote dismantles that lamb or that wool, that sheep, and it's a brutal, slow, torturous death. That's how wolves and coyotes consume sheep. They'll come in and they'll linger around a little bit. They might even get involved in ministry. And right when you are thinking, man, aren't they great? Aren't they some? I just think that guy's great. Oh, it takes a part of your heel. Start to bleed a little bit, says something, hurts your heart, begins to question the ministry, and we'll get into this in a moment about Absalom. Hey, I don't know if I would have did it that way. Oh, well, how would you do it? Oh, I would have did it this way. My, what big teeth you have. Better to eat the word of God with. But I don't think I would have done it that way. I feel the Lord leading me in another direction. Oh, and they lead people astray. Tactics. They get around and then they bite. Take a little bit of the heart. Take a little bit of the ear. And they begin to bleed. Watch out for them. Listen, sheep don't eat sheep. That's why you're relaxed right now. Jesus says, in a moment, you're going to go back out into the world and I send you as sheep among wolves. They're out to eat you up. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets, wolves who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and you'll know them by their fruits. How are you going to know? By their fruits. People, the Bible says thou shalt not condemn. In the English, it's the word judge. Be careful. Technically, it's the word condemn. You cannot pronounce condemnation on somebody. That's God's divine prerogative. You cannot condemn somebody. But Jesus says in Matthew 7:15 and 16 that you are to inspect their fruit. When you say, hey, man, I think you're kind of off the wall. You're judging me, brother. Oh, no, I'm not. The word of God judges you. I'm just simply looking at your fruit. Now, look, if you're a pastor or if you're in ministry, this is what you do. Please bear with me here. This is the way I see it. If there's a wolf in the area, just walk over to them and lift up their wool and look at their fruit. And test the fruit. Squeeze the fruit. Here's how you do it. Give them the word of God. If you see something, God will show you something. Confront them. Say, brother, it seems to me that you really enjoy getting the gathering around yourself. I would be careful concerning pride. Be careful. What do you mean, man? Hey, have you ever seen fruit when you go to the model homes? And they're on the table and they're either wood or wax. A false prophet will have all of this fruit under the wool. But all you have to do if you're in the ministry is take a squeeze of their fruit. And if it's plastic, then you've got a real fake there. And you grab them by the paws and by the fangs and you throw them out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 4. Thanks for listening. And like Paul, learning to be content with what we have keeps us thinking about the needs of others. The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. December's Book of the Month has been specially chosen by Pastor Jack for this time of year. It's called Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Reconcile Your Past and Reclaim Your Future, written by Gil Mertz. Before we head into 2019, it's important to resolve past hurts by releasing our power to forgive. Forgive Your Way to Freedom shows us in a practical, biblical way how to journey through forgiveness step by step, because when we forgive, that's when we're more like Christ, who has forgiven us. Again, December's Book of the Month. It's called Forgive Your Way to Freedom by Gil Mertz, and it's available for you to purchase at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.